Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations. A couple things you should know. We're Catholic. You don't have to be. Sometimes we cuss. More often than not, we dance on the edge of blasphemy. But if that's okay with you, we're happy to have you here joining our conversation. So just so you know, a couple things to remember. I'm Dizzy, and I am joined by my co-host, Guess. Guess, what are you drinking today?
Yeah, well, I was actually, I was on the wagon pretty well. I was drying out after St. Patty's Day, but
someone just kept it going.
Unnamed, whose name is Dizzy, brought some cider tonight, so I'm having a lovely
hard cider. The title of this podcast is Church Drunk.
This
I was merely doing my duty.
It's right. Hard cider makes me feel like I'm on the frontier.
It's almost like a fruit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of the food groups.
Totally.
And vegetables. Yeah. You should just be grateful that it's not citrus flavored, because that would have been a dick move.
Yeah, that would have been unkind.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want me to trip up with my Lenten promise. Actually, this has been a good week for me for citrus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Has it?
Yeah, actually, yeah. I haven't had any slip
intentional
ups. No temptation,
cheats.
Even. Well, there's been a little temptation at times,
yeah.
But yeah.
I've had a rough time.
The avocado.
I went to another taqueria. I should just stop
there. Yeah, that should probably.
And it was hard, and then I just missed it a lot, but.
Yeah. It's
a sacrifice. I'm offering it up.
Tis the season to be sacrificing.
You know what? It's true.
Yeah.
It's a small suffering,
yeah.
And I realize that. Okay. Well,
tonight we're kind of talking about the opposite of suffering, where we're going to be getting into a conversation about miracles, because we were sort of inspired
by
this Sunday's reading that's coming up about
looking
blind
ahead.
Bartimaeus.
Do you have a sound effect? Yeah. Spoiler alert, Jesus spits in this one, just in case you thought he was super precious and clean and holy.
We gotta get some sound effects so that we can get that, like,
actually spit on the ground.
Where it's like, ba-ding!
Yeah, I just like that part of the story.
Yeah.
If nothing else, you know.
Jesus spits.
The Savior
and you
spits.
Can see better.
That could have been a podcast.
Jesus spits.
The Savior spits. Savior spit.
Kanye has Jesus walks. Church Drunk has Jesus spits.
Easy. All right. Well, so looking ahead, miracles were on our mind. And
yes.
I think miracles are a big part of the whole, like, Lenten journey. That's something we're looking ahead to, is the big miracle, right? The resurrection miracle.
Yeah, well, it's certainly embedded in that idea of conversion, you know, like that something should be turning your heart to God. And
sometimes
people have those big momentous things that are
people
their
like
of conversion.
Signs.
Yeah.
People like something to look to
and
hold
does
up.
All point towards that ultimate miracle that comes with empty tomb, Easter, all that fun stuff.
Right. And so we're kind of dancing around it, but when we were talking about this topic for this Church Drunk
we
conversation.
We discovered a rift.
Yes, and it's not the first one.
Yeah.
but it's the first one for us on this, and no, we get along. But for real, though, you kind of, let's just ask you right out. Do you think that the miracles that are in the Gospels, which is our, you know, our encounter,
yeah.
I guess,
yeah.
with Jesus, is in the Gospels, firstly, the historical Jesus.
Yeah,
and
well,
the Christ of faith.
Right, right. Okay. Well, I mean, I think a lot of those stories people thought were real. And I think, you know, like, I certainly want to believe that they are real, right? Like, there's a part of me that when you hear a story like the blind Bartimaeus, right?
Mm-hmm.
A man was blind and then he could see.
Right.
And there's, like, all these witnesses built in there to say, like, this is a legit real miracle. And I don't have a firm enough belief that it didn't happen to be like, no, absolutely not. But I also falter before I say, yeah, totally. Like, I can buy that without, you know, thinking about, well, maybe he had cataracts and Jesus kind of knew, like,
so Jesus did
how to scrape them away, right? Like,
oh, there were literal scales on his eyes from which I don't think that's how cataracts work.
I don't think so. No.
Okay, but we don't know.
Right.
But we don't know a lot about it, which is kind of the point. I mean,
yes. These are stories that people told, right? And they wanted you to believe that Jesus had the power to make blind people see and make lame people walk, because they were the fulfillment of prophecies and there were all these ideas about making people whole again. And I do believe in that. I believe that Jesus had the ability to make people whole.
You're just not sure of the physical part or like the mechanism of it?
I tend to carry a more skeptical eye for the physical miracles.
I would say, and I don't know, you can vouch in or not, but I'm a skeptical person in general. Like, I am not a believer in a lot of things that can't be explained
in terms
of the modern world. Like,
absolutely.
I just don't go for it.
I'm
not like
a
tabloid reader.
Bullshit on. We're that's cute, but bullshit.
I'm up for calling bullshit. But when it comes to this particular set of miracles, and I'm talking about like miracles that Jesus performed in a couple gospels that kind of pass muster.
Yeah.
You know, for actually scholars think probably happened or are accounted reasonably.
Yeah.
I think it's a theological issue. I think if you're going to believe that Jesus is fully human and fully divine, you kind of have to believe that he was doing stuff that just didn't happen otherwise.
Yeah.
Or miraculous things.
And that's why, like, I would say that I don't carry enough firm belief to it to say one way or the other.
Yeah.
To say with confidence, yes, it happened, or no, it didn't happen. And to me, it's important to say I believe that it could be true.
Mm-hmm.
I just tend to be like, maybe not, though.
Yeah.
And part of it that's built into it for me is like, okay, so Bartimaeus was blind and then he could see, right?
Right.
But there were lots of other blind people who had to be standing around being like, Jesus,
excuse me,
over here, right? I've got leprosy. I'm blind. How come I'm not being healed?
True.
And that to me is
But we know that Jesus did do lots of sort of mass healings of people that we do not specifically know about. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, there's lots of stories of him, like, and he healed many people, and he healed the whole crowd, right, and, like, you know, all this stuff. So maybe he did.
Yeah.
And there's another reason why this particular story was included. And I think this is the story of a blind person, Bartimaeus in Mark's gospel. Mm-hmm. I believe it's in Mark's that it's Bartimaeus. In another gospel, it's just a blind guy.
Yeah, a blind guy.
Yeah. But it's maybe highlighted for a different reason. I think it's kind of the Pharisee thing where it's like, go, don't tell anybody.
Yeah, well, and in John's account, which is what
we're going on Sunday.
Deep
dive here, team. Sorry about that.
There's the whole idea of, like, people were upset by his healings, right?
Right, and that's so I feel like this one might have been highlighted for political reasons. Right, there's no reason to think that bars him from doing...
Yeah.
Others, like, I'd like to think that Jesus was not turning people away. That doesn't seem in keeping with his ministry.
And it does, you know, there's a line there that makes sense in terms of, like, part of your healing is your movement towards Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be willing to wait in the line, or you got to be willing to call out from the crowd.
And how many times did he say your faith
has healed you?
Yeah,
right?
That's
he's like, it's not me, it's your faith that's healed you. And when he would say, you know, like, your sins are forgiven and rise up and walk, he was claiming, like, it's a hell of a lot harder to forgive sins than it is to make somebody walk, right? So I do. I think my personal belief on it is that he had a miraculous ability that nobody that has ever walked the face of the earth could ever
match.
I'm
going to meet you on that one.
To make people whole.
Right.
And that perhaps there was more of a sense that if I physically heal you, if that's what you need to feel whole, then fantastic. But there could have also been... people felt like they didn't need to be healed, right? And we see that in today's culture. There's a lot of people who have what, you know, most of us would consider to be a disability.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you go to someone who is deaf and you just go, zap, right. I heal you. They would be like, excuse me.
I was fine.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like, I don't need your healing, right? So,
but this is also a culture that viewed physical infirmities as already connected to some... moral or you know, other kind of deficiency within the family, like of a spiritual or psychological level.
Like,
so
why is this person being punished?
Exactly. So it made sense maybe better in that culture and at that moment in time.
Or counterpoint, devil's advocate.
All right.
Maybe part of the miraculous ability of Jesus was to get the people in the community to view that person as a member of the community. Not the blind guy, but just the guy.
I just feel like that is such a modern day, like, rational secularization.
It is. It totally is.
We don't.
And I hate it. I hate it about me.
You know it's wrong, right? Your heart
I know.
Okay. Because that's what we want to do. We want to explain everything away. And I think part of having faith is acknowledging mystery and acknowledging that we're not going to understand it. And I think the, like, hopeful, like, the childlike side of me that only God is going to get to see wants to believe that this could be true.
Yes.
And I don't have a reason not to believe it if I'm going to operate from a place of faith.
Right.
And I only can believe it. I can only do that jump for Jesus.
Like, we can only believe that about
anything. I don't believe lots of other things.
Where we have it on faith, right? We have gospel accounts that are so old and have gone through so many different iterations that we have to take it on faith.
And I think part of the miracle is the witness of others. Like you said, maybe that person didn't necessarily need to be healed, or maybe it was for those in the crowd or those who hear about it to believe. People need signs. Like, you know, humans, we like to see and touch. And, I mean, even Thomas, like, If for no other reason to believe in miracles, I think the story of Thomas wanting to touch Jesus and Jesus being like, well, all
right. Right.
I mean, like, knows we like to see stuff and touch it. And that's kind of how we are sometimes.
It is. It is. And I do, like, I think
about the, like, healing stuff, not the, like, John's, like, oh, I'm doing powerful signs. Like, well, no, I'm talking about, like, signs. Like,
and what's interesting is that you and I also differ on the other sense of miracles, the sort of the spiritual miracles where Jesus was exorcising demons and things like that.
Yeah.
We were talking about that, and you're like, oh, yeah, I know. That all is just a bunch of hooey. And I'm like, no, those are the ones that I actually believe in.
Hooey?
I mean, I don't know about, like, driving the demons into a herd of swine, but...
I think that's just another physical healing. Mm-hmm. If it's a mental or psychological problem, I'm kind of finally under the same category. Yeah.
And I look at it as, you know, like, again, like that ability to bring a sense of wholeness and healing that could go beyond just sort of... Can the lame person walk?
Yeah. Well, maybe we're not so far apart. Yeah. You know, if we want to say like that we're spirit and we're body, they both need to be healed. True. Maybe we're just picking apart when God is like, dude, you're all the same thing.
Yeah.
Maybe you should just take it as it is.
Well, and when it comes to the Gospels, the question that I always ask is what does the story reveal about what the Gospel writer wanted to say about Jesus, right? So why would this become an important story for whoever is telling the life of Jesus to be like, well, then Jesus walked on water.
Well, then again, we get the most healing miracles in Mark's gospel, which is about as bare bones as they come, and all leading up to the big miracle.
That's Jesus the action hero.
Which is
hero.
The resurrection. Yeah. You know, it's the passion narrative. That's all Mark is really building towards. So if you're using that argument, then this gospel author is trying to say, look what this guy can do. And we're building to the crescendo, essentially.
Absolutely.
So that brings me to this. Do you think the resurrection actually happened?
Oh, geez.
You can plead the fifth if you want to keep your Catholic card this length.
No, here's
but my... But, I mean, I have to ask.
Not to nerd out too much, but my healthy hermeneutic of suspicion... My hermeneutic of suspicion is informing me...
Oh, my God.
...that perhaps... the resurrection is something that is bigger than, like, zombie Jesus. It's not a reanimation per se, because if you read the stories that we have in Scripture, Jesus is appearing to people who already have faith in Jesus, the person Jesus, the Messiah, and people walk with him down the road to Emmaus, right? And they don't recognize him until he breaks the bread. And so it's not the same Jesus that we have. This is a resurrection that brings a whole new life.
Okay.
And for me, what that means is Jesus is more present to us today than he ever actually was with the 12 apostles. That's the new presence of Jesus that we get with the resurrection.
You can't know that, though, that he was more present
to them. It's called faith, Diz.
Okay, so a hermeneutic of suspicion. I will just throw down a little Mark's messianic secret. He was trying to tell them the whole time.
He was trying to tell them the whole time.
And he's telling us, and part of that reason of them being unbelieving is us paralleling ourselves in that gospel story.
Yeah.
You know, of coming to this. It's still the invitation.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I mean, I think the resurrection is it's obviously the most important thing.
Yeah.
And that's part of why I feel like I have to find some belief in those miracle stories is because they are all precursors to the big one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just walk away from the big one and say it's not a thing, well then you got some serious problems.
Yeah, no, It is a thing. It's a thing in the whole world, whether you're a Christian, whether you're not. It's influenced all kinds of things. So I think it's a thing.
But the resurrection is also a thing that we're not meant to understand, right?
True, but we are a thing we're supposed to encounter.
Right.
And so we can leave the Paschal mystery aside for today. But
yeah, right.
You can't. I don't know. For me, it's all tied up together.
It is.
I think you have to sort of go for it.
Yeah.
Dive deep I mean, I want to believe there's stuff I don't understand because otherwise it's a very hopeless place.
Absolutely.
You know.
Where does this put you with the saints? Like, why don't we see miracles today?
Yeah, no, that's where this, here's my suspicion. Like, you know, I'm kind of reserving that just for the one guy who was not like anybody else.
Okay.
Except for we're all supposed to try to be like him.
Supposed to be like
so that's brings as much saints. As possible. So we're all called to be saints, and you're referring to like canonized like official
like
list of
the
saints.
Vatican investigates
not the like
miracles.
Lowercase saint. We're like everybody in heaven is a saint.
No,
hey, at the lake of beer, holla.
Yeah, that's actually. True.
Sorry about that last week.
Now don't
He's
apologize.
He's not sorry. I'm a little sorry.
I'm not sorry. No, but like, yeah, we have the universal call to holiness. We're all supposed to be doing those little miracles every day. But then the Vatican steps in and says, these miracles actually happen.
Like, they want Jesus-style miracles.
That tumor
want...
went away due to the intercession of this particular person.
Or that
person.
Saint bled, that statue.
Exactly, right? So, okay. And where, like, how does your belief about, like, the tangible miracles of Jesus
I'm
weave
gonna,
into
here's my little heretical toe over the line. I don't think it matters at all.
No?
I don't. It doesn't matter particularly to me. Mm-hmm. I don't think somebody has to prove from heaven that they're in heaven by solving stuff that is probably unrelated. And, like, there's a whole thing about this. Like, I feel like suffering, like, somebody's tumor, like, suffering is a redemptive thing. Suffering increased our spirituality. Suffering is part of everybody's life. Like, you're asking, why did this guy get healed? Well, why did that guy's tumor get healed? I can't even get into that. I just think it doesn't matter. That's not what makes somebody holy. I think it's their life example. And like you said, the little everyday things that make a difference.
Yeah. Well, and also, you know, like, the world around us is changing constantly. And something that we don't understand today and would attribute to be a miracle, mm-hmm. maybe down the road, we understand a little bit better about why that happened or how that happened. And maybe we don't, you know? Yeah. I mean, I do, again, I have to believe that it's possible. And so that same belief that I have about the miracles from the gospel and the time of Jesus applies to today. Like, I have to believe that it's possible, just not necessarily super probable.
I just think that the proof is just in individual people's inspiration.
Yeah.
Like, if I look at, you know, some of these more modern day saints who I've had exposure to, like, you know, take Mother Teresa, or, you know, Dorothy Day, a servant of God, like, she's on her way to this. I don't need a miracle for me to know that that person has led a holy life that has maybe influenced my life. Like, that's miracle enough, right? Is inspiration or of helping somebody.
Yeah. And I like to look at the world as a miraculous place.
Sure. When somebody, I think we do experience individual things in our lives that are miracles to us.
And when somebody is healed, you know, whether it's by medicine or by mystery, you know, like, that's a miracle to me. And when, you know, the sun is shining, but it's also raining, that's a miracle to me. And I'm like, what? The world is such a wonderful place.
I think it's all a miracle. I mean, I think the, like, leaves growing on the trees are miracle enough.
And that's why, like, I have to believe that bigger things are possible, because that makes the little things also filled with awe for me.
Sure.
But I think it's kind of a personal thing for where people are able to kind of weave that into their spirituality.
I mean, I think people are hungry in general for spirituality in this moment in our culture. And I think that miracles can be a part of that. Like, we want, I understand that desire.
Yeah.
At least I want there to be a miracle. I guess just for me personally, I always kind of feel selfish to say that.
Yeah. I mean, it is like when you pray for God to do something for you, like, heal me or heal this person who I know, it is a selfish thing, right?
Totally.
Do something just because I feel bad about it.
Right.
And
it's not wrong to take our sufferings or our desires to God. Like, I think that is a form, that's prayer, that is holiness itself, that is you walking your own path. I think it's just always saying, I understand that if this doesn't happen, it doesn't mean that God doesn't care.
The whole thy will be done thing.
The whole thy will be done
important thing.
Like, understand that. Right. There's a bigger picture, and that's where my hope is.
Yeah.
So I try to keep that in perspective. That said, of course, we're human, and, like, when something awful is happening to you or a loved one, you want to be like, fix that.
Well,
like,
and
my life does matter, and God does care, but,
you know. And sometimes all you can do is pray, right? Like, God rejoices in the prayer, right?
Mm-hmm,
that you are reaching out to God in your time of need. And when there's nothing you can physically do about it, then you pray for it, and it makes you feel more connected to whatever is going on in the world around you. And that is, I think, probably the most miraculous thing about Jesus was his intimate connection with the world around him, that he knew people better than they knew themselves.
And that he was walking alongside them, entering their experience, and I think that's what we're still called to do to one another.
Yeah.
For one another.
So when when we reach out in prayer to be like, dear God, please fix, you know, the war. Then you're connecting yourselves to the people who are living in that situation, even though you may not be in the middle of it.
And
that's what we're supposed to strive for on some level.
No, and that's right. And I think just trying to practice that detachment as much as we can and holding both in our hands. So
yeah.
Both and.
Right. Yeah. Okay. But I do, so I feel a little...
We're not maybe as far apart as we thought we were. Yeah. I think I just, I don't know.
It's different perspectives that are kind of arriving at the same place, which is part of what we're all about, you know, as a church, hopefully.
Yes.
Different perspectives that lead us to the same place.
You know, it's deep and wide. Let's room for everybody at the table, which, you know, I think is hopefully something we're conveying this. Like, obviously, we have our own perspectives and experience, but just to say out there, like, I really do think that there's lots of ways to be holy, and there's some saints, for example, who will speak to you, or some forms of prayer or study or whatever that's your way, and I believe those are all good because we're under the big umbrella of it.
Yeah. So when I pray for my beloved sports team to win a championship, and then they do, that's the only kind of miracle
that is really the actual miracle.
That's still allowed, though,
that's
right?
a real thing.
Okay, good.
That's the only real miracles we do have today.
I can rejoice and dance in the street and be like, there is a God! Okay, fair enough.
You know, you will just be the saint of sports.
Saint of sports. No, that's Saint Stephen. Saint Stephen, the patron of athletes, because he could get shot full of arrows twice and not die.
Okay, wow. There's a miracle for you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. How many people have been martyred two or even
I was thinking
times?
Like sports championships or like competitions, you know, just the, not even like athletes who like train and like have actual ambition. Just like people
just
watching on TV.
So when I die, I will be the patron of like lazy championships.
Right. You'll be the champion of fantasy leagues. Yes. Yes.
All right.
Well, we kind of, had to recover a little bit and refine, rediscover.
I feel smart again.
You know, it's nice to know that our nerdery is only disappeared now and then, not fully washed out of us by
alcohol.
Saint-inspired alcohol. Okay. So, but before we are too serious, guest, you have a pretty fun little side note activity that you have designed.
I have been working on a little side project. Some of our listeners out there may be familiar with Cards Against Humanity.
It's not for kids.
Smash hit game.
It's not for work.
Yeah, not safe for work. And I've had it kind of rolling around in my brain for a while that it would be fun to do a Cards Against Christianity version of this, where you actually have, you know, sort of churchy themed cards that are irreverent, but still lots of fun. And so I've got a retreat coming up that I was going to be working on, and this idea seemed like a good one as an icebreaker, because it's a grown-up retreat.
It's a grown-up retreat, and you have a grown-up game.
Yes.
And we want to incorporate games now and then.
Sure.
Maybe someday we'll have a third chair and a guest.
A guest,
We were actually hoping for a guest, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, Mrs. Guest had to run out.
It's always a great thing when your spouse doesn't want to play your game.
Seriously. She even helped me make it. But we can pretend that she's here, and we'll do modified rules.
Okay.
If you guys are familiar with Cards Against Humanity out there, you know that it works kind of like apples to apples, where there's a category, and then there are some responses on a deck of cards, and you have to pick a response from your hand of cards and put it out there anonymously. And then whoever is the judge for that round has to pick the best one. So we'll do a two-person version where we'll each have a hand of cards. And if you are the judge, you pick a category card. And you read the category, I will take two cards from my hand and put them out there. And you simply have to pick the winner of those two cards.
Okay. So this is just for entertainment here, folks.
So first, we will shuffle
up. Your own at home.
Each of us gets five cards in our hand.
Okay.
And take a look at them. And be ready. Do you want to be the first judge, or do you want me to be the first judge?
Well, you're the dealer, so I'll be the first judge.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Right.
Who knows?
Pull a category card then. Let me see. Oh,
I am pulling a category card. It is, the Vatican Museum holds many mysteries, but the strangest artifact is probably, and now Guess is going to give me two options,
I'm ready. Bingo, bango.
Okay. The Vatican Museum holds many mysteries, but the strangest artifact is probably the soiled burial shroud of Lazarus that had to be stinky. or the unblinking eye of St. John the Baptist. Why is his eye out of his head?
Well, I don't know, dude. There's probably stranger shit in the Vatican right now than
that. I feel like the strangest artifact. Oh, but they like shrouds. It's not even unique. You know what? I'm going to have to go with the unblinking eye.
Okay.
Like, what's the churchy word for preserved? The un.
It's like unmortified or
somebody out there knows. Email us, tweet us, let us know.
Oh yeah, we tweet now.
Church Trunk Pod.
Yeah.
Because there is a word for it, and I'm totally blanking on it.
Yeah.
No, but anyway, that is...
I know what your word you're talking about, and I don't know it either.
Somebody does. Yeah. Anyway, so
I already
yes.
pulled out hermeneutic of suspicion, okay? I don't know if okay. I'm responsible
Let's give him
for
lots
everything.
Of credit. If we're keeping points, guest gets an extra point for hermeneutic of suspicion, and I will just remind us all that theology is faith-seeking understanding.
Also,
all right,
before we move on to round two, the soiled burial shroud of Lazarus did remind me, listeners out there, mm-hmm. y'all got to be reading Your Lamb by Christopher Moore so that we can be ready to break that down
There's
in probably
a great
about 2 weeks
Lazarus
or so.
Lazarus scene, actually.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
Oh, icky.
He's really stinky.
All right.
Okay, pick your...
Dizzy, your category mm-hmm. is... Bless me, Father, for I have sinned.
Oh, gosh.
I didn't make it to Mass this week because of blank. Bless mm-hmm. me, Father, for I have sinned. I didn't make it to Mass this week because of blank.
I don't have as many options for this one, but these two are excellent.
Okay. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I didn't make it to Mass this week because of the burning bush, which sounds
Read
like...
Read that as you will.
You need to see a doctor.
Did I say I'm a redhead?
And bless me, Father, for I've sinned. I didn't make it to Mass this week because of sipping mulled communion wine by the fire.
Might which actually have happened.
Sounds way better than going to Mass on most weeks.
Oh.
I'm going with the burning bush, absolutely,
okay.
as the preferred response there.
It's hard to sit for 60 minutes when your bush is
burning.
Yeah,
well, that's true. That is one that belongs in the confessional.
One more round?
One more round? Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that's you. You pull that one, and all right. I have these.
Mm. Well, that's too similar. All right. The theme for you, mm-hmm. the recipe for communion host calls for nothing but flour, water, and the secret ingredient.
Ooh, okay.
What's
okay.
the secret ingredient?
I'm going to give you one good one and one crappy one.
Let's see which one I actually pick. So the recipe for communion host calls for nothing but flour, water, and the secret ingredient, transubstantiation.
What are the odds that I have that one in my hand?
It's like accurate. It's like the truth.
It's transubstantiation.
Or the church choir tambourine. Oh, God help us. Even though I am fine with guitar masses, I know, clutch your veils to your ears, but even I would draw the line at tambourines.
Tambourine.
So we'll go with the real deal to kind of
yeah,
bring us back from the blasphemy column back
Once
into
again,
the holy column.
I feel smart again. So
transubstantiation.
Transubstantiation.
All right.
So that's Church Drunk for this week.
Yep.
We hope you guys enjoyed listening. Again, hit us up with an email, churchdrunk@gmail.com.
Yeah, we actually got 2 emails this week.
We did,
I can't believe anybody's still listening after that St. Patrick's Day. So, you know, we are proud of you, and we appreciate you, if that's you.
We have the best listeners in the
world. If you're a new
world.
Listener, you know, Environment's a good place to start. So we had listener Elizabeth likes our witty repartee.
Oh, yeah.
So
we've got her
She
fooled.
Did not listen to that one.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, and follow us once again at
Church Drunk Pod
on Twitter or email us at churchdrunk@gmail.com.
Yeah. We tweeted out a couple things this week.
Just wrote a nice little post about the Saints that's up. There'll be something else coming up as we finish out the week. So check that out. We also had a second email from loyal listener Brad, who totally likes us drunk and is fine with that. And he wants to know where his tattoo came from after listening to our St. Patrick's
Day. Yeah, we got him drunk.
I hope it's a shamrock
waves.
With like a ginger teat.
I hope it's
somewhere
a
in the background.
Pint of Guinness with wings on it.
Let us know. So thanks for listening. We appreciate you, Church Drunk.
Where saints and sinners gives way to saints and sippers.
Here,
cheers.
Here.
All right. Have a good week, everybody.
Peace.
Happy Lent.